I had a person call and wanted to come and visit with me for a few minutes earlier today. This is not a preacher, but a business person in the community. Goes to another church, wanted to come and talk to me, and so he came, and I realized very quickly that this person has a concern, a burden for our county. And as he began to go through all of his concerns for our community and our county, I said, "You're talking, you're talking my language. You're talking what I believe and what I know that God wants to do for Lowell County." I read just a few verses, Luke chapter 3, Sunday night, but I want to read starting at verse number 2, Luke chapter 3, verse number 2. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That the word of the Lord came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. How many times does God speak to us and reveal his mighty power in the most adverse circumstances? Just think about it. Those like Daniel and Ezekiel that were down in Babylon, they were in a barren wilderness, but yet they heard from the Lord down there in that place. And others as well that were in barren places, but yet the Lord spoke to them in the circumstances that they were in. And to John, the word of the Lord came to him in the wilderness. Remember, John in Revelation was on the Isle of Patmos, which was just an island full of rocks, basically, is all it was. But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he had that wonderful revelation of Jesus in that horrible, barren place. And we're facing some things around us in our nation and in our country and even in our community. There's a lot of spiritual wilderness around us. But I'm encouraged to know that God can reveal himself and he can speak to us even in the wilderness. He can reveal himself. And it says that he came into all the country, verse 3, about Jordan, preaching baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Esaias the prophet, Isaiah prophesied concerning what was happening to John at this time. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. That was John, prophesied hundreds of years before by Isaiah, the prophet, who spoke of this one that was going to come, and he was going to be a voice crying out in the wilderness. Now I see, as I read about John the Baptist, I see a great parallel to the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit. As it was in the life of John, so is it true in these last days, that God wants to raise up a voice of truth in these days of spiritual wilderness. Amen. Right in the midst of all this, he was a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now you have to get a sense of what he was talking about here. They would send soldiers ahead of the main infantry. They would send soldiers ahead of the armies to clear the pathway, to make a way. They would be, actually the French word is the word P-E-O-N, peon. And the word peon just means someone that would go ahead of the army, and his life was in jeopardy. because he was going into a barren wilderness, and they would send him forth, and that's really where we get our word pioneer, from that first part of that word, from the word, the French word, peon. We have our word pioneer, and those pioneers like Daniel Boone, who came across into Kentucky, and they came into a wilderness, literally, and they had to hack their way through it, and they had to build a way and make a road, and that we know as the Wilderness Road, and they cleared a pathway, they made a way, so that those that were following it were going to come and begin to migrate west were going to be able to come through the wilderness and have a way prepared for them. Now, I see the parallel in the work of the Holy Spirit in these days. Just like in the life of John, the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. There wasn't anybody like that before that was filled with the Holy Ghost even before they were born. But that was John. Even before he was born, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And when Mary, the mother of Jesus, comes into the house where Elizabeth is with child of John the Baptist, that baby jumped, leapt in her womb because of the salutation of Mary announcing that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. So John was not an ordinary man at all. He was not ordinary. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And his purpose, his calling, was to prepare the way for the Messiah. To prepare the way. And I'm convinced that it is the Holy Ghost that prepares the way for the work of Christ to be done. So that's why that when we pray and we ask the Lord, Lord, send the early rain and send the latter rain and pour out your Spirit upon our community, because we want the Spirit of God to prepare the way so that people will hear the gospel and receive the gospel and be truly born again. And we know that if that happens, it will have been a work of the Spirit, a work of the Holy Ghost. Whenever revival comes and the Spirit is being poured out, then the Holy Ghost prepares the way for the message of Christ to be preached and promoted and to be heard and to be received. Jesus said about John, because I'm still with this idea that John was no ordinary man, what did you go out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken in the wind? What went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, that they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What went you out for to see? A prophet? And here's what Jesus said about him. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. He wasn't just a prophet. He was more than a prophet. And what else did he say about him? He said, this is the one that I said, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. That's what John's calling and ministry was. He was Holy Ghost filled from his mother's womb because he was to prepare the way for Jesus, the Messiah. That was his calling. That was his life purpose. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in these days that prepares the hearts of people to hear and to receive the gospel. If it's a hard, barren, spiritual wilderness, you can talk to people about Jesus until you're blue in the face, and they probably won't hear it. But if their heart has been prepared through the working and the moving of the Spirit, that's why we pray for the lost. We pray specifically for the lost, that the Lord would prepare the way, that the Spirit of God would prepare their heart, would melt their heart, would soften their heart, would help them to hear the truth, to understand the truth, to believe the truth. We know that the god of this world, Satan himself, he wants to stop the truth. He wants to hinder it any way that he possibly can. He wants to stop the message of the gospel from going forth. But this man, John the Baptist, was sent to prepare the way. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now, when Jesus says that about somebody, we need to pay attention. When Jesus says, there's not been one man born that's greater than this man, John. John the Baptist, he is at the top. And I believe that he's a wonderful type of the Holy Spirit. No one like the Spirit. Nothing like the Holy Spirit that can turn a regular church meeting into a move of God. It can turn a song service into a worship time. It can turn a prayer time into a move of God. Supernatural things taking place. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit prepares the way. It makes a way for hearts to hear the gospel. Amen. Notice verse 5. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. That's what the peons would do. They would go before the king, before the armies that were leading the way for the king to travel through, and they would clear the pathway. They would take and they would fill up all the low places. They would tear down all the high places, the mountains and the low. They would flatten it all out. And they would make the crooked ways straight. They were building a highway for our God, making a way. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It makes a way for Christ and the message of the gospel to come and to be heard and to be received. Amen. The Holy Spirit does the work of preparing the way for Jesus to come, for the gospel to be heard, for people's hearts to be touched and moved, the low places. I'm just giving you some ideas about what maybe this might mean. The low places, those that are hopeless, those that are lowly, depressed, down, hopeless, no confidence, no faith. What does he do? He lifts up the low places. He raises them up. What about the high places? Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The proud and the arrogance and the self-sufficiency of people. All of that tore down and brought down so that Jesus, so that they recognize that they need Jesus. The lowly, the humble, the beaten down, they don't think they're worthy of Jesus. They don't think that they're worthy of hearing the gospel. They don't think that there's any hope for them. But that one that prepares the way, the Holy Spirit, works in their life and convinces them, oh yes, I'm going to lift you up. And because of my mercy and grace, I am going to make the low places filled up and brought up. And the mountains and the hills, I'm going to tear them down. Those that are proud and arrogant and self-sufficient, I'm going to tear them down and humble them so that they will see their need for Jesus and their need for the gospel. The crooked shall be made straight. Those that are working iniquity and disobedience and living in wickedness and rebellion against God, God's able to come into that situation and convince them of the error of their way. Amen. The Holy Ghost can do that, can convict them and help them to see, you're living a crooked, wicked life. You need to straighten up. You need to straighten up. The King is coming. You need to straighten up. Jesus is coming. And he'll fill up your life. He'll touch your life if you will allow him to. The rough ways shall be smoothed out. Amen. There are a lot of people that are kind of hard to reach. They're kind of harsh. Sometimes not the best tempered. And their spirits are not willing or ready to hear the gospel. But the Lord knows how to soften hearts. He knows how to smooth out the rough people and the resistant people. He's able. And when he comes, that's what these pioneers would do, is they would go in and they would tear down the high places, fill up the low places, straighten the roads out, smooth it all out so that the king could come. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. That's why it's so important for the church to be praying. This brother that came to see me today, he's done a lot of research on Laurel County. And a lot of the things he said I had heard before and had come to similar conclusions. Over 60,000 people that live in this county. But even with that, about 40%, somewhere in the neighborhood of 40% of the people in this county will say, if you ask them, do you go to church or do you belong to a church, they'll say yes. 60% of people in this county will respond and say, no, I don't have a church. Can you believe that? This is a community that is full of churches with a real rich religious heritage here in Laurel County, but 60% of 60,000 people will respond and say, I don't have a church, I don't go to church. Of the 40% who say, I do go to church, there's a percentage of them that when they say that they go, that just means sometimes they go, every once in a while. It may be closer to 20% of the community that actually is faithfully attending a church on a regular basis. So that shows you where we are with just a little over 100 churches in this county. That shows you the massive mission field that we have right here within our reach of people. How do we reach them? A lot of them have, you know, they have a parent or a grandparent. They have a religious history. But they are not walking with God. They don't know God and they're not connected to a church. And they're not really all that interested in it. In many cases, only the Spirit of God that begins to saturate this community can cause them to recognize that they need Jesus. The reign of the Holy Spirit upon Laurel County can cause people to recognize, oh, I need the Lord. I need the Lord. I need God. People are living their lives out without any thought of God or any thought of their need for God. Just, you know, living, surviving, making a living, filling up their life with whatever thing seems to be important to them, with God hardly ever a thought in their mind. That's why we must pray. That's why that is a church. That should be the most important focus of our ministry here, is that we are praying, oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon our community. Pour your Holy Spirit out upon the hearts of men and women that are lost. The Bible says that John was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was the one preparing the way so that the Messiah could come and lives could be changed for the glory of God. Amen. Verse 6, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Once everything gets all cleared out of the way, once everything has been cleared, then they can see clearly the message of Jesus. Amen. A lot of people have filled up their lives with so many foolish things that don't really matter. They may not be necessarily sinful things, but they just filled up their lives with things that are not important. And they're spending their time, their energy, their money on things that really don't matter. They certainly don't matter as far as eternity is concerned. And they're doing all these things and filling up their lives, and they don't see their need for Jesus. When the Spirit of God comes, when the Spirit of God moves and prepares the way in our community, people are going to be able then to see Him for who He is, see Him, and that they need Him. And when I read some of these verses Sunday night, as John dealt with the religious crowd at that particular time, call them a generation of vipers who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. Basically, what he's saying to all these religious people is, I want you to be real. I want this to be real. I don't want there to be pretense. I don't want there to be religious form. I want the real thing. I want you to have the real thing and to put aside all of these religious things. Don't lean upon that. Don't lean upon your father, Abraham. Don't say, we have Abraham to father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. What is he talking about? He's talking about the religious system that they were trusting in. That religious system, which was just, it was just rules. It had nothing to do with knowing God or living for God or a relationship with God. And he said, the axe is being laid to the root right now. We're going to remove that out of the way. It's going to be cut out of the way. A lot of people, yes, even in our community, they are leaning upon their mom and dad's past religious experiences or their grandparents' past religious experiences. They lean upon that and they have nothing for themselves. Nothing for themselves. They need to know Jesus personally. Amen. Now, John's message was a straightforward message. He didn't mince words at all. He dealt with them right where they were and what they were doing and the failures that they made. He separated the wheat from the chaff. And he poured his spirit. The Lord poured his spirit out upon them. John saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one is coming after me. I'm not worthy, of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He told them that their religious past couldn't be a crutch. They were going to have to get it for themselves. It was going to have to be the reality of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that prepares the way for the lost to be saved. It's the work of the Holy Ghost that makes a way, that prepares a way. That's why that we have, for the better part of several months now, we've been encouraging everyone to pray. Seek the Lord every day. Call upon the Lord. Seek the Lord with your whole heart. And pray for these that are in our community by the thousands. That Sunday morning comes around, what are they doing? They're sleeping in, or they're doing whatever. They're going to the golf course, or they're going to the lake, or they're doing whatever that they want to do with their time. They're not thinking about their need for God at all. But when the Spirit of God begins to move in a community, it will convince men of their need of Jesus. When all this is cleared out of the way, then they'll be able to see clearly that they need him desperately. Amen. Praise the Lord. That should be our prayer. Amen. Lord, do that. Do that kind of a work. Lord, a work of the Holy Spirit right here in Laurel County. Amen. Let's stand and pray here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Make this a real important part of your praying when you pray. This brother that met with me today, he said, what do you think is the best method, the best way to reach all these people in our community? And I said, well, it has to start with prayer. It has to start with prayer. If we could get a great army of people in our community to start seeking God, then that's the starting point right there. If they'll seek the Lord and we'll invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, into our churches, into our community, then that will prepare the way for the Spirit to be poured out and for Christ, the message of the gospel, to break through. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray for London and Laurel County. Let's pray tonight for our community, for an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Father, there's such a need, such a need. Multiplied thousands of people, Lord, in our community, Lord, they don't serve you. They don't love you. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that the gospel would be able to go forth with power. And I know, Lord, that the real answer is for a rain of the Holy Spirit to fall upon us, to fall upon our county, to fall upon our lives, our churches, our families. Oh, Lord, your Holy Spirit poured out upon us, Lord. That is the rain that will prepare the ground. That is the rain, Lord, that will cause us to be able to prepare the way for the gospel to be proclaimed. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, use us. Help us, Lord, as a church and even other churches and leaders in our community, Lord, to sense the need to seek your face, to pray, and to believe God for an outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us. Lord, only you can prepare the way. Only you can prepare the way. Use us, Lord, we pray. Minister, Lord, through us. We ask in Jesus' name. Glory be to God.